much like ours, but with a greater intelligence, greater powers, and a greater capacity for good.
Even though you've been raised as a human being, you are not one of them.
Well, good evening, folks. Welcome to the Light of Day radio program with your host, Sheldon Day, coming to you live on Orion Talk Radio Network. We're live again Saturday night, July 3rd, 2010, one day before the fireworks shows start across the planet. Anyway, nice and hot down here in the Sonora Desert. We've been hovering around right around 103, 104. Went to the swimming pool today with my boys. We're going to have, unfortunately, I tried my hardest to have a guest on tonight. I planned on bringing Jay Widener onto the program, or even maybe Greg Jenner, but that didn't work out. So I've decided to bring John DiNardo back on sometime after the bottom of the hour break. We're going to be trying to focus on what's really going on out there in the Gulf of Mexico, and me and John firmly believe that what's going on down in the Gulf is directly connected to Planet X coming in our more deeply into our inner solar system. We'll be talking more about that with John. I didn't have much time to prepare here for my show tonight. I was almost tempted to call Jimmy at the network. I only had maybe like 45 minutes at the most here to prepare for my show, but I do have some stuff on my CD player that I can also play, so I think I'll do okay. I did want to comment about my pre-recorded interview that I played last weekend with Nancy Leader. Just to reiterate, I do not agree wholeheartedly with what these so-called Zetas are telling Nancy. She's a very sharp researcher when it comes to elaborating upon what the Earth changes, how the Earth changes are occurring. But I did want to point that out, that I don't want my credibility ruined because I'm interviewing the wrong people. The reason I interviewed her is because I'm very open-minded and I like to look at all the evidence out there. And so I thought I'd just point that out. As far as this guy Lucas is concerned, he's the guy that did this YouTube presentation about this coming cosmic event. Been trying to get him on my show also, and he has stated that he's not ready to come on yet, but he will at some future point. So really look forward to bringing Lucas on my show. Now, Ann Morrison, she sent me an email here. There was a earthquake northeast of Brisbane, Australia, and it either happened Thursday or yesterday. I mean, she gives two different dates on the email, so I'm sort of confused here. But regardless, the magnitude was a 6.7. Now, as far as the Planet X researchers go that really have a good idea on what's going on with earthquakes, that in actuality would have been a 7.7. So these earthquakes are getting stronger. This particular one happened near the Vanuatu Islands, I think it's pronounced. I'll spell that out phonetically. V as in Victor, A as in Apple, N as in Nancy, U as in underscore, A as in Apple, T as in Tom, U as in underscore. And this these islands are 1,289 miles northeast of Brisbane, Australia. So that might give you a better idea where that is. Now, that would sort of be close to the Coral Sea, where the seabed floor had been rising 13 feet a day. So there may be a dot connector there. Now, the sun is manifesting some heavy activity again. There were some coronal mass ejections leashed out from the sun. And I'm going to find this email here quick. Like I said, I wasn't totally prepared to do my show, so I'm going to go find this email here. One of my listeners, Margo, sent me the email. It would have been from this morning here. Double blast. The sun is very active today. A pair of magnetic filaments, one on either side of the solar disk, erupted on July 3rd, which is today, hurling a pair of coronal mass ejections into space. Now, this movie she sent me here, it actually shows four eruptions. The first pair may have been precursors of the second. Stay tuned for related high-resolution images from the Solar Dynamics Observatory and more information as we unravel these explosive events. And you can go to spaceweather.com to do some more in-depth research on this activity coming from the sun. Now, John DiNardo had asked me in an email, were these solar eruptions plasma or electrons and radiation energy? If it was plasma, it should take 2 or 3 days to reach Earth and cause earthquakes. And I dug into that and I found out that these eruptions involved plasma. So I would say maybe in another, 2, 3, or 4 days, we're going to be seeing a big earthquake somewhere. I also seen a prior email here about this. The sun's going to have I believe can't remember if it's a partial or full eclipse on July 11th, but historical records show that within a 2-week time frame of an eclipse of the sun transpiring, there's some pretty big earthquakes around the world, so we'll probably be seeing a big earthquake here somewhere. I believe that would go up until the 23rd of July, if memory serves me correct. Whatever 2 weeks after July 11th would be. I don't have a calendar right in front of me. Now, we also got the folks out there always saying, yeah, if Wormwood was headed our way, we'd be able to see it. Well, I'm going to read a quick email that Gilbert Erickson sent me, because we may have new listeners to audience. He goes on to state, looking for Wormwood in the U.S. or any other northern hemisphere location will not do you any good until Wormwood clears the horizon on its perihelion maneuver. Basically, it's coming up from underneath the ecliptic plane of our solar system. The best way to put the concept together in your mind is to look at the gallery images on Gilbert's website, millenniumprophecy.com/gallery.html. Then compare those images with the animation that shows Wormwood coming up above the ecliptic plane. Until Wormwood, folks, breaks above the horizon in its perihelion maneuver, you can't see it in the northern hemisphere. The Earth is in the way, hard to see through. To see the southern hemisphere skies, you have to be physically located in the southern hemisphere. Now, in addition to being located in the southern hemisphere, you have to be looking in the correct direction in the sky. It won't do you any good to be looking over at Orion or anywhere along Wright Ascension 6 hours when Wormwood is making its approach along Wright Ascension 18 hours, roughly 180 degrees in the other direction, in other words. Equipment is nice to have, but is of no use when you are not where you have to be to see Wormwood and if you are not looking in the correct direction. So you have to start with those two basic issues. The next issue is a comparison issue. You locate Wormwood by comparing images that are optical plus infrared versus optical infrared. All stars will show up in the infrared part of the spectrum, Wormwood included. But when you compare the optical plus infrared image with the optical minus the infrared image, Wormwood will only be visible in the optical plus infrared image. That's how you find it, by comparing the two kinds of images. So you need to be able to switch the infrared feature on and off to be able to tell which object is Wormwood. It is the comparison of images that allows you to find it. To discriminate Wormwood from the other normally visible stars, since Wormwood is only slightly out of visual range, probably 4 to 5 microns in wavelength. Now, I also have a separate topic here to discuss. Again, we're live Saturday night, July 3rd, 2010. You're listening to The Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Day on Orion. There's been quite a few earthquakes going on in the Arkansas area, and I don't have it right in front of me, but I believe here within the last month there's been either 32 or 34 earthquakes, and I actually have a sound file I'm going to play from the local TV station in Arkansas, so my memory can be refreshed here as to how many it's been. But I pointed this out with Ann Morrison on the phone last night, that Arkansas is seeing quite a few earthquakes. So I'm going to play this here so we can hear it. This is off of KFSM Channel 5. It's somewhere in Arkansas. So here it is, folks.
Well, a third earthquake in as many months has shaken northwest Arkansas. The most recent happened yesterday between Springdale and Rogers and measured 2.3 on the Richter scale. No one reported feeling the ground shake. The last earthquake happened near XNA on May 20th. That one measured 2.6, and a 2.5 quake shook near the same area on April 29th. There have been 36 reported earthquakes in central Arkansas since June 2nd. The largest was a 3.3.
Okay, so that it was actually 36 quakes then. We have a little time yet. We have about 10 minutes or so to the bottom of the hour break. There was a guest on the Kevin Smith Show from April 21st by the name of Marshall Masters. He really pointed something out to me in this interview that I'd like to share with the audience here. I'm just going to play a soundbite from the Kevin Smith Show, April 21st. But, you know, I've always been baffled. Why has it been so critical that the ruling power elite get this health care legislation passed? And after I heard Marshall Masters mention this on the Kevin Smith Show, finally occurred to me what this is all about. So I'm just gonna play it for you here, and then you folks can make it up in your own mind as to whether you believe this or not. We're gonna play that now. Oh boy, I put the wrong sound file here on the CD here before my show started, but I'll just give you a summary of what Marshall Masters said. He said that the revenue side of the healthcare legislation is good up until 2012, and then the service side of the healthcare legislation starts in 2013. Now, I don't like to put dates out there for Earth cataclysms, but you know, this does make sense to me in my own mind, because John Moore is in concurrence with Professor Jim McCanney that most of these Earth catastrophes will be so well underway or finished by that December 2012 date that it's not going to matter anymore. So I'll have to play this on my next show, because I didn't put the right file on the sound right sound file here on here. But what Marshall stated was that the power elite had been just draining the life energy out of the middle class to fund their last-minute preparations before these Earth cataclysms begin. That makes sense, you know. They would want to be as prepared as they can because they don't know how bad things are going to get. I mean, they're already getting panicked because of they're recruiting citizens now to help them look for earthquakes, and NASA's wanting citizens to help them find an asteroid that came down over at Alabama here in the middle of May. So I just throw that out now. I also discovered in my research, this is off the Wayne Mattson show on Republic Broadcasting Network. He stated that there were two rigs that collapsed. I mean, one was a gas drilling platform, and the other was some type of rig up off the coast of Norway. So I'm going to play that right now so you can hear that.
There's something going on with the planet. I'm sure scientists know. Listen to this scenario. How many disaster movies have you seen in the movie theater and on television where there's the White House and the scientific community knows there's a disaster, but they don't say anything about it, right? They don't want the public to be panicked, and they get into the cover-up mode. And that may be where we're at now. Mining disasters in Russia, Colombia, China. I think we have to stop sending these poor people down in these mines. They're hitting highly pressurized methane's coming from the core of the earth. And what they said in this disaster in the Gulf of Mexico is this intense pressure came up and just blew it. And they can't stop it because the pressure is so intense. You know, a month ago, a natural gas offshore rig collapsed off of Venezuela. One of Norsk Hydro's rigs in the Norwegian Sea almost collapsed. They shut it down, fortunately, but they were talking about the intense pressure that was coming from underneath the ocean floor. I think what we're facing here is some sort of global cataclysm, and we've got to mitigate the effects of it. And one way to do it is just stop the drilling. You know, there were geothermal projects that were shut down in California and Switzerland because they were drilling for geothermal, causing earthquakes. We've got more than enough examples of this. We've got to stop the drilling. We've got to pull these people out of the mines.
So there you go, folks. That's a clip from the Wayne Mattson report on RBN. I think it was from June 19th, if memory serves me correct. But essentially what me and John DiNardo are coming to the conclusion is that as Wormwood gets closer to Earth, we're going to start seeing land masses rise from places that have been the bottom of the ocean for a very, very, very long time. And John DiNardo is going to put out an update to his one that I read on last weekend's show about that article that I read entitled Oil Spill Done to Conceal the Buckling Seabed. Sorry, folks, I got some interruptions here. I don't know if there's fireworks going out on outside or a lot of banging going on. What a night to do a show when you got firecrackers going off in the neighborhood. Anyway, we're going to be joined by John DiNardo after the bottom of the hour break. In about maybe 3 or 4 minutes, we'll be going into the break here. Sorry for the distractions here, folks. One more thing I was going to read here before the break. Now, this was put out by a former Kansas State Trooper and Secret Service appointee, Greg Evenson. Now, I'm very confident that this guy is a disinformation agent, but you can still get 90% valid information out of these disinformation agents, so I just wanted to read this for what it's worth. It was a little entertaining when I seen it. Article is put out Thursday. It's entitled, Snowplows Ready to Remove Abandoned Vehicles from Highways When the Evacuations Along the Gulf Occur. Now, according to what I've been seeing and hearing, these evacuations along the Gulf could start as early as the middle of this coming week here, in a few days from now. Anyway, I'll read this for what it's worth. It's been approximately 3 weeks since Greg Evenson appeared on the Waterman Files to discuss what his inside sources are telling him about the situation in and around the Gulf. On Thursday, Evenson discussed and updated the situation with John, I guess that's the guy that does the Waterman Files radio show. Evenson stated that it was suggested to him by University of Texas researchers that 4 to 5 weeks ago that there were reports from the U.S. Geological Service that an earthquake was precipitated at 11 miles below the ocean floor when drilling at the Deepwater Horizon site, which went as deep as 30,000 feet, which is not the deepest well on Earth, but the deepest ever penetrated into such a major source deposit of this type of oil, which is why it's coming up red and radioactive. The reports from the USGS indicated that this earthquake may have fractured the ocean floor, which would explain the oil seeps at 7 to 28 miles away that may not be coming from the drill site at all, but by cracks in the ocean floor caused by this and the giant deposit. Evenson, discussing the problem with separating the fact from fiction when determining the situation in the affected region, stated that, quote, the time for silliness and extraordinary that have no basis really need to be called out of the debate because we are losing time, we're losing ground every moment. It may be entertainment to some, but to others it's deadly serious business, and I mean deadly serious. There have been suggestions that the oil rigs, all operations in the Gulf, will be shut down. A video is making its way around the internet of Pensacola, Florida, with methane boiling out of the water, said to be a million times more in some areas, 100,000 in some areas, than anything close to normal. Those amounts of methane being released are the equivalent of 20 times more than the carbon dioxide typically being released into the atmosphere from cars, etc. Various scientists have postulated that this uncontrolled massive release of toxins is going to cause extreme phenomena around the globe, including major fluctuations in climate, causing superstorms similar to those in the Hollywood movie The Day After that are going to be mind-boggling. In response to this scenario, Evenson states, well, there's the break, folks. We'll be back. You're listening to The Light of Day and Orion. Stay tuned.
Speech guaranteed. You're listening to the Orion Talk Radio Network. The Orion Talk Radio Network is here. The First Amendment of the Constitution grants us freedom of speech. That's the freedom to express our views and opinions without censorship. If you listen to mainstream radio at all, you'll notice that free speech is pretty hard to find these days, with just a handful of networks offering programs that dare to discuss topics and issues that have a profound impact on our daily lives. The mainstream media simply lies by omission and distortion of the facts. The Orion Talk Radio Network is committed to bringing you entertaining and thought-provoking programming that dares to tell the truth. And you can help us as we grow our network. If you think you have what it takes to host a show, you know of someone interested in hosting a show, or any other suggestions, comments, or questions, please drop us an email at OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. That's OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. And thank you for listening to the Orion Talk Radio Network.
Something in the air, feel like person whom you're trying to reach is currently...
July 3rd, 2010. Okay, I appear to be reconnected here now. Well, welcome back to the Light of Day with your host, Sheldon Dave. We got John DiNardo on the line. I had didn't have my phone for John hooked into my computer modem box, and then I got disconnected. Long story, but I'm going to play a soundbite here that I didn't play from my show last weekend, and then we're going to bring John on. Let me find out what track here. Number, okay. Well, enjoy the soundbite, folks, and then we'll bring John on. So
this is how the powers that be that are in the know are dealing with this information. Sometimes it slips out, and then they do their best to try to cover their tracks afterwards.
So where is the government in all of this? Aren't they supposed to protect us? We're the taxpayers. They have a defense department that's supposed to defend us. Why hasn't the government notified us that these terrible times are coming? Well, imagine if you were in their shoes. What would you say to people? We're not going to be able to feed you. We're not going to be able to protect you. Masses of people will die. But please pay your taxes anyway. They don't tell you because they don't have a plan. They also don't want to create panic. Up until the last minute, when they're sure this is going to happen and that nothing can be done, they don't want to be the cause of panic. Bank failures, people failing to go to their jobs, industry grinding to a halt. They feel that at least now things are rolling and the wheels of commerce and the like are continuing. So basically, they just don't know how to tell you. It's terrible news. They have no solution. They don't want to cause panic. So paralysis sets in and nothing is said.
Is it not possible that the government does know more than they are telling us, with theories such as Roswell and aliens visiting us, that there could also be threats from outside our solar system, which we're now being made aware of subtly, like through the movies and media like Deep Impact or Armageddon, or NASA releasing information saying that an asteroid could whack us in 2028 or thereabouts? It's making the public privy to this information so that they have a case history of events to desensitize us to this information, so that when instantly there is something new in the skies or in the heavens, we're not freaking out.
There is an object right now moving into our solar system, and this information is being kept from the public. The astronomy community is not going to tell you about impending disaster. In fact, they're under direct orders not to tell you. You know, there's tremendous equipment that has the ability to observe this object. In fact, an entire entourage of objects coming into our solar system.
From sources within the U.S. government that tell me that yes, they are deeply concerned about it, and they're worried sick about it, and they don't know what to do about it. What could the government or anyone else tell you? What could they say to you?
Had to prepare for it, but keep it out of the public's understanding. Otherwise, there would be panic everywhere. Astronomers are so certain of this planet's existence that they've already named it Planet X. Why have we never been able to see a direct transmission from the Hubble telescope? They're blacked out.
Nobody can receive a direct transmission, not over satellite. NASA will never put it on because they're watching. They know something is coming. They've spotted it.
The greatest catastrophe in human history is unfolding in front of us. It's a huge crisis, and it's systemic, and it's not going to go away. It's going to get worse and worse. For the first time in recorded astronomical history, the sun lost its magnetic field, its heliosphere.
That was Jay Widener, folks.
Well, you know, one of the things that a lot of people have factored a lot of this into is do they know something about a comet, asteroid, massive body that's going to be swinging by close? And there's certainly a lot of talk about Planet X for a while there, and then it kind of faded out because, you know, people make predictions and things like that. If there is a Planet X or Wormwood, that it would be coming by on a regular basis in great floods throughout history, which are mentioned in every creation story of every single community of indigenous people, folks who have never read the Bible. So obviously there is some memory of this. Our government or governments friendly to the United States control access to every observatory substantial in size and power enough to be able to see these things that might be coming from a distance, indicating, of course, the clampdown on panic. What much sense does it make in the event of massive global flooding to build an underground shelter?
Just a few minutes left here, folks.
Converging on the fact that a global disaster will occur very soon. It's a recurring disaster. See, what has happened is that when this planet passes by, it has a tremendous magnetic field. If it comes close enough, which could be as close as 15 million miles, which is considered really, really close, gravitational fields of Planet X or one of its thousands of surrounding comets also. The magnetic field of that passing space body will lock up magnetically and also gravitationally with Earth.
What does NASA know?
They know that Wormwood is headed this way. They know that there's not a darn thing they can do about it, and they're scared spitless. Wormwood is packing a major, major methane atmosphere. It comes in contact with the atmosphere of the Earth. You've got the Earth supplying oxygen. And then Wormwood throws these little pellets of iron oxide dust that glow red hot, and fire literally rains down on the Earth from the sky. One-third of the Earth will be incinerated.
Could this be one reason why so many governments are building underground bunkers, some say cities, for their own chosen few?
Yes, isn't that interesting that the governments of the world are building massive underground complexes? Here in the United States, we've got them where, right out here in California, China Lake, and up in Utah, we've got
Area 51. And I still think there's something under the Denver airport.
And a massive, huge complex under the Denver airport. And by the way, Denver connects to these other places underground.
They're creating a seed bank.
Oh, yeah, massively in Russia and also massively in Israel. You know, there's some places where there's massive tunnel complexes that are being dug to protect the politicians, you know, make the world safe for lawyers, and just let everybody else burn.
You have about seven minutes left on this Wormwood. soundbite, folks.
The day of the explosion at the oil spill rig, there was a huge eruption on the sun, and there is some speculation that the oil spill and the explosion on the rig might have been an under-ocean volcanic reaction. There's some evidence, and there's a case building for that. The idea of drilling, you know, for oil on the back of a volcanic hot zone. In fact, National Geographic has confirmed, and I found proof there, that in the Gulf of Mexico there are active volcanoes underneath that region. So you're drilling into an active region, which
in the early 1980s, and I've known about this for a little while, the Washington Post report on this, but you found a lot of our reports in addition to the Washington Post report and a few others about this potential 10th planet or some sort of mystery object.
That was Lee Rogers.
December 81, Astronomy Magazine launched a article called Search for the 10th Planet.
It is a brown dwarf star. It is either a small star or it is a big planet.
There's Art Bell, folks, back from the mid-90s.
Sheldon mentioned this telescope they're putting up in the South Pole. What do you suppose they're looking for?
Well, they're looking for the 10th planet. It's not that they're looking for it, they're tracking it.
They're tracking it, okay.
Because they found it in 1979 with the Pioneer 10 space probe.
NASA, about a year ago, had a study that said that the sun's activity appears to be directly related now to climate change. Yet, it really didn't receive much publicity. How come?
Well, when I talked to David Hathaway at the NASA Solar Observatory before all of these disasters happened, I asked him that same question. And he said, we think there could be a connection to weather. He did not say earthquake. But they really didn't want to publicize anything about it.
The International Space Station, they sent, the mass media reported that something like 45 tons of equipment has been launched up to the International Space Station for repairs. That's an obvious phony report. I believe that what they're doing is sending up, expanding the International Space Station to accommodate some of the power elite up there during the times when it will be safe. I think they're going to have to, they probably are smart enough and have enough technology to know that you cannot stay up in the International Space Station during dangerous times when there's severe lightning and electrical discharges from Planet X.
That will flood miles inland in the continental United States, Canada, possibly elsewhere around the world. We're talking a flood of biblical proportions. Government agencies are aware of this. They've shared this with certain personnel. The U.S. Navy has apparently shared this with their service people. And there are apparently safe havens. The U.S. Government has been very busy constructing huge underground bases, if you will, in order to preserve government operations to some degree.
Now, what these men were told in these classified briefings is that, quote-unquote,
during your lifetimes, not your children's or your grandchildren's. During your lifetimes, we will have violently rising ocean levels to new levels, violent abrupt climate change. One of the known safe havens is the Arkansas-Missouri Ozarks.
John, I would like to mention that I think we should begin to warn our audience that they should start really thinking about it, working together with us in preparing for solar storms that I suspect and many other people suspect are going to be occurring this year or next year. Solar storms that could be so severe that two major catastrophes will result. One would be the destruction of our power grids, and that would throw us back into a primitive lifestyle. We would be overnight forced into, ancient ways of living. We've got a lot of evidence to indicate that these solar storms are coming soon. We could talk about Planet X and how it is exciting the sun and beginning to excite the sun.
Well, that's my Wormwood promotional soundbite I created last weekend. We're going to bring John DiNardo on now. Hey, John, welcome to the Light of Day.
Hi, Sheldon. I'm happy to be with you and your audience.
Well, thanks. Earlier on my show, I'm having some problems here tonight. A lot of distractions, for one. Anyway, could you tell our audience what you think is going on right now in the Gulf of Mexico and how this connects with Planet X coming in, please?
Well, I have the suspicion, I surmise, from various pieces of evidence that the power elite have deliberately tried to make the world believe that they have created this tremendous oil spill which covers hundreds of miles of the Gulf of Mexico. They're trying to make the world believe that they, BP, man's stupidity, man's recklessness, has caused this oil spill. When, in fact, I believe that they want to cover up the truth, which is that it is a natural disaster, and the reason they want to cover up this natural disaster is because it's only one drumbeat in an ongoing, intensifying drumbeat of catastrophes that we are seeing and are about to encounter over the next year or two. They do not want the public to know about this intensifying drumbeat of natural disasters, which will cause the people to flee or revolt, bolt from control by the power elite. And therefore, those people will begin to refuse to pay their taxes, refuse to obey orders, begin to arm themselves, begin to prepare for survival. When survival is recognized by the people, then no longer do the power elite maintain a superiority and control and dominance over those people. And this is what the power elite fear the most. They would rather be falsely blamed for doing something stupid, reckless, like drilling into this oil volcano, then see the people know the truth and have the people know the truth. Now, there's a number of pieces of evidence that we can talk about, Sheldon. You and I have discussed before that all point to this. It's sort of like a number of dots or pieces of the puzzle that all point to this theory that I just stated. First of all, I'll give you the biggest piece of the puzzle, and that is I have a friend... His name is Mark. I don't
think he wants to go public. In fact, I haven't asked him yet, but I guess I could ask him. He might want to appear on a radio program, but for now we'll say that I'll just give you his first name. He's a former Persian Gulf War veteran, and he maintains contacts, some contacts, with people in the government. One of his contacts is a geologist who works for the U.S. Geological Survey. Those are the people, USGS, who do all your earthquake monitoring and reporting. This geologist told Mark, and Mark told me at least 3 years ago, I'll say 3 to 4 years ago, long before this oil spill ever occurred, he told me that the government and geologists have noticed, and the government itself is aware, that land masses are about to arise out of the Gulf of Mexico. That was a shocking thing for me to hear. And he said also that the they, meaning the corporations, the oil companies, are very interested in some great oil drilling opportunities in the Gulf of Mexico. And there's, if you think about it, there probably is a connection, you know. I mean, I'm just putting, connecting the dots here. And I can see that if there's going to be pressure under the crust of the seabed of Gulf of Mexico, that upward pressure would allow oil. And thus,
up to the top of the hour break. You will stay tuned. You're listening to the Light of Day coming to you on the Orion Talk Radio Network. We're live Saturday night, July 3rd, 2010. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
Orion Talk Radio Network is here. The First Amendment of the Constitution grants us freedom of speech. That's the freedom to express our views and opinions without censorship. If you listen to mainstream radio at all, you'll notice that free speech is pretty hard to find these days, with just a handful of networks offering programs that dare to discuss topics and issues that have a profound impact on our daily lives. The mainstream media simply lies by omission and distortion of the facts. The Orion Talk Radio Network is committed to bringing you entertaining and thought-provoking programming that dares to tell the truth. And you can help us as we grow our network. If you think you have what it takes to host a show, you know of someone interested in hosting a show, or any other suggestions, comments, or questions, please drop us an email at OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. That's OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. And thank you for listening to the Orion Talk Radio Network. We have more listeners than the big boys' HD2 channels. This is Micro 1650 AM, Tonawanda, New York.